Pulling the Sling Tech Show.
Hey there, everybody. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show, and we just want to welcome you and thank you for tuning in, I guess, if you want to call it tuning in to a web radio show, listening to us on this hour. Does anybody know what episode this is? Which one it is?
36,
62. Right? I think it's like 36. But anyway, a whole lot. Yeah, a whole lot of shows. We're going to
catch... They will actually make a count, too.
Yeah, we're going to... Is your mic on?
Oh, now it is.
That's why. See, I can hear Alan, but the rest of you are not
going to... Sorry about that.
We're going to be right back at you after our usual quickie commercial break to give you time to catch up to us on the IRC channel.
And crack open the beer.
That's right, while we crack open the beers.
Oh, don't tease.
But first I want to, in addition to our usual little promo that we play, I wanted to also, there's an important piece of news. Over the last week, the former president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, has passed away. And I wanted to have a quick moment of silence in observance and respect for him. And then we'll get right into our usual chicanery. Catch back up with you in just a moment. Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there. Oh yeah, it's the Tech Show. Here we are on the wonderful Wednesday evening, or Thursday, actually, if you're listening to us in the UK today. June 9th here where we're at in the eastern portion of the United States. And again, I am Link, one of your hosts for the Linux Link Tech Show, along with Dan Washko and Alan Metzler. How you doing, guys?
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
See, now you can hear me. Yeah, now you can hear Alan because he actually turned his microphone on.
And you know, and I was like actually like talking up to it and everything. I was like, oh.
Yeah, you were doing good, man. It just I just couldn't
it
hear you.
Totally worked in here.
So, fellas, what have we got for today? Dan over there
is intently
working on something again.
No, I was on the chat. All right, I was on the chat.
Uh-huh.
Mozilla 1.7 release candidate 3 and Firefox 0.9 release candidate 1 today available
right.
for download.
Right,
which means
but that's just a pre-release version. That's not the official
right.
next version, which should be coming very very soon. Right,
it's supposed to be this month for both of them.
I would guesstimate. Probably even early next week, they would be available. You think?
It's possible.
The next
got
the
gambling
version.
Pool going on here. Link's predictions.
I'm telling you, I have this feeling because I keep seeing, you know, in like the news sites and stuff like that. I keep hearing mention of it over and over and over and over. It's like it's building
they're
up to a crescendo, you know.
You didn't by chance look at the roadmaps, did you, and say that they're both supposed to be released this month?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, next week is this month.
Yes, it is. It is.
They're
but,
like
you know,
the
I
third
just
week
think
it's.
This
month,
I think it's rather going to be sooner than later. You know what I mean?
That's good. I like Firefox.
Oh, it's awesome. If the next version that comes out is any better. Then this version, or any faster, it would just be like lightning, man, because comparatively speaking, Firefox is like the fastest browser out on them, as far as I'm concerned anyway. Firefox
yeah.
is the fastest browser out right now, with the exception maybe of Dillo. You guys use
yeah,
Dillo before?
I've used Dillo before. I used Dillo a long time ago.
Now, Dillo is really, really fast, but it lacks a lot.
It lacks a lot of things.
You know
what I
mean? It's like, almost like a... A really cruddy graphical implementation of like
it
links or something like
or
that.
Or anything like that.
Yeah, no tables. The graphics rendering isn't very good.
I was using that when I had the PlayStation for
right.
Linux hooked up.
Right, but
that
it's
was
faster than hell, and it's really
works.
Really teeny tiny. So, but for a full feature browser, Firefox is the way to be, man.
Wait, were you talking about Dillo?
Yes.
A second ago.
Where the hell are you, man?
Oh, I was answering a question.
Do 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 do.
It has table support.
Dan can't
right now.
Chew gum and talk
well,
at the same time.
When I looked at it, it was a long time
no,
ago.
No, it didn't. When it didn't originally, it didn't have table support, and like the graphics rendering was kind of shaky, and it didn't do.
It doesn't do CSS that well.
It didn't do PCMs or
like
PNG.
PNG.
It does PNG now, but it doesn't do style sheets that well.
Doesn't do well
because I'm looking at
it. It really didn't do
right
a whole lot of anything very well when I last looked at it. It was fast. And it was definitely a GUI client, and I liked it because of that. But it was lacking in some area. I'm sure it's gotten a lot better. It had to. but you know, ever since I've been on what was Phoenix, and then Firebird, and then Firefox, and who the hell knows what they're going to call it next
bird
week,
that
right?
They're going to come up with.
Ever since I've been on there, I just been hooked on it, and. You know, my previous favorite, I guess, was Galleon.
Yeah, I used that for quite a while. I really liked that
Until
one.
Until Galleon 2 came out and it just, like, sucked the life
Galleon
out of my computer.
Galleon 2 really rotted.
It was slower than anything.
What about Epiphany? Have you done anything with that?
Yeah, I've used it and then I've thrown it out. In fact, I'll bring up Epiphany when I talk about Thunderbird shortly.
Okay.
Shortly, because I actually had more experiences with Epiphany. It's all right. It's, I don't know. I'm Firefox.
It's just Firefox.
I kind of liked Epiphany, you know, and every now and then I'll have one of those. There'll be one of those weird sites like, okay, for instance, at work. We have a Microsoft Exchange server. Yeah, I know, boo. And it really sucks, and it goes down all the time, like literally almost once a day. And the funny thing about logging into a Microsoft Exchange server with Firefox is once I'm logged in through the web interface and I start using it, if I open up an email and hit reply, for some reason, it won't open up. It won't do like a reply to it. It just blows up the whole, it blows up the whole secondary browser email thing, and it's done. You know what I mean? And I can't do that. But if I go to, if I go into like Netscape or Epiphany or Galleon or something like that, it works just fine. It's in all reality, it's probably some stupid setting that I have overlooked, and I really haven't gone in to piss around with it and play anymore to get that working. But I really don't care because I don't, as a general rule of thumb, I don't like going into my work email anyway.
So I don't like
from home
work.
Anyway. And then, most of the time when I do go in, the damn thing is broken. So I usually
what was
just
blowing up for you?
On a Microsoft Exchange server,
right.
The webmail, when I would open up an email document and then go to do a reply to, the email itself, the email document itself, not the base web page, but the email document that opens up afterwards, would blow up and disappear. And the reply to wouldn't start either.
And
Firefox. Now, like I said, I'm sure it's some kind of stupid setting that I have wrong. But, honestly, it wasn't worth it for me to go hunting around for it because, I don't ever use that anyway, only very, very occasionally. And then a couple of times that I did actually have to reply to an email, or maybe it was reply all or something. It's one specific one that doesn't work. And those couple of times I had to fire up Galleon real quick or Epiphany or something like that and just jump on that way. It's a lot easier.
Well, I know I have Epiphany on this machine, but I've never used it. Firefox.
It
just
feels pretty solid to me, but like I said, I only used it just a very few times. So, Firefox it is. Firefox, my brother. Right?
I don't know. Speaking of the Mozilla line of... the Mozilla family of applications.
The Mozilla family.
You had said last week that you had switched over to Thunderbird. Doo-doo. Right?
Yes.
And I decided to go with the Thunderbird myself. And I do. I really like it a lot.
One quick question, though. Is it a little bit slower for you?
Yes.
Does it annoy you at all, being a little bit slower with it popping your email up?
Do you mean when I click on my email?
Yes.
To read it?
Yes.
Or when I download? It's slower to download. It's a hair slower when I click on it and look at it in a quick viewer. If I want to look at the headers, it's a lot slower than it is in Silfeed.
Right.
So, that's a little bit annoying. I like the junk mail filter. And, with using it for a week and training it, it's catching a lot of the stuff.
Uh-huh. And you use the POP3, right? You're using POP3 on
POP3, it? POP3, yeah.
Okay. Because I have a little bit different experience with it since I'm using it under IMAP. But go ahead.
And the junk mail controls have been pretty good. The training's worked pretty well. I haven't had any false positives yet. I've had it miss a few things, but it's getting less and less, which is really nice. I like that a whole lot. I added Enigmail to it for GNUPG key signing and encrypting of the email.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which was which was a smooth process. And what's nice is you have a choice. You can encrypt all your mail if you want to, or you can just do it as you're going along. It makes it pretty smooth. You can sign your mail. Really sweet. And what I found out is plugins and extensions work when you download and install them for the right version of Thunderbird. They don't work if you screw up.
No.
Because apparently I had Thunderbird on my machine for so long back in the 0.5 release that I was downloading and trying to install extensions for 0.6 thinking that that's what I was running and not paying enough attention, and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't working properly.
Uh-huh.
But once I moved over to 0.6, which was a simple download, everything's working great. I put that on there and the calendar extension, which is nice. To have a nice little calendar.
Now, what's the deal with the You can share that with everybody, and can everybody? I mean, I have never used it, so
Well, you can share it between Mozilla, Firefox, and Thunderbird, but you can also share it from a centralized location. Now, whether you can share it with other people, I think you can, but I'm not 100% sure. I didn't look into it that deeply. But you can have your calendar stored on a centralized server somewhere, and
cool.
all your, supposedly, you're supposed to be able to access it and keep everything centralized. Now, I haven't tried it.
Is it in a format that you could get, you know, with other types of software programs or other types
you
of programs?
You can import and export stuff out of it, so long as the software format is compatible.
You, like, push it in and out of HTML or something like that, or text, or...
You know what? I have to look at it over there. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
I see.
That'll be something that we need to look into for next week.
Yeah.
Give us something to do. I would actually like that. Would be nice if...
I should check that out anyway, because I've been using iCal for a long, long, long time.
I like the iCal.
And I'm not talking the iCal for OS X.
No. The original iCal.
The original, you know...
The right one.
XF86 kind of thing, iCal.
Hey, you know, and speaking of calendars, I would really like to be able to have one consistent calendar across all my locations. Because at work, we have GroupWise, and I have a GroupWise calendar.
Right.
And I have a Palm Pilot, which I can sync to the GroupWise calendar on Windows with IntelliSync.
Okay.
But I can't do that on the Mac. But I can sync my Palm on the Mac... And I can use iCal on the Mac to sync it to the iCal. Or I could use the Palm Desktop on Windows, Mac, or whatever. But I can't use the Palm Desktop and the IntelliSync with GroupWise at the same time unless I go into the software and switch them back and forth. It's one or the other. Then at home on Linux, I can sync my calendar with the Palm Desktop, and it'll sync with iCal if I have it set up and installed that way. Now, it'd be nice to be able to take that and incorporate it all into the Mozilla calendar. And that way, wherever I'm at, I'd have access to my complete calendar. And I wouldn't, you know, if I could find a way to sync it from the Palm to the Mozilla, which I think is something that's they're working on doing, like a plug-in feature for that, that would be great. But as it stands right now, I got like 5 different calendars floating around.
See, now I don't have that problem because I don't have a Palm, so... I mean, I have 2 Palms, but not the same kind of Palm you're talking about.
You got the rosy Palm.
Yeah, the rosy, the hairy ones.
Look at Alan over there.
And speaking of...
You say that, and Alan's drooling on your palm.
And speaking of rosy and hairy palms, we all discussed this earlier, and we're going to let you in on it. This is a very unique and special episode tonight, a special show, because we have all come into an agreement that for this one show, at least this one show only, that neither I nor Dan nor Alan are wearing pants.
Yes, it's the pant. It's pantless.
This is
pantless
the,
Wednesday.
This is the pant-free tech show.
Thankfully, we don't have a camera.
None of us are wearing pants. You can rest assured.
We're just going to watch people like drop off now.
Yeah, we see how many people drop off the.
This is going to be the 3 of us left.
Drop off the Dex Chat now.
Like, okay, we're not coming back to this.
3 guys. None of them wearing pants. If you think about it hard enough, you can probably figure it out. Nothing has to do with anything sexual.
Although it is needed in the sauna tonight.
Yes, it is. It's needed in the sauna. But anyway, Dan's over there typing away. What are you typing away now, man?
I'm going to be patching my kernel in a couple minutes. Because I just don't have enough to do during the show.
We always pick on Dan because like the history of the show is that 15 minutes before the show goes on, Dan has got some kind of crap to do, man. He's like...
He's been, like, itching to, like, change things around.
Building a kernel or, you know, unplugging the entire network, replacing the switches, something, you know? And so I ragged on him a little bit about that yesterday, so he's picking. I'll be back about it today. All day long. Asked me... 9 o'clock, he asked me if we shouldn't change the switch out real quick.
But only if it took a moment.
But definitely Thunderbird, both the email client and the drink, the malt liquor. Good stuff.
Okay.
And they won't leave you wanting afterwards, that's for sure. I like it very much. Thunderbird, 2 thumbs up. Now, one of the problems I have with Thunderbird
Wine,
and this goes back to what you were talking about, Epiphany. When I click on an HTML link in Thunderbird, it would pull up Epiphany. And I didn't like that, because every time it pulled up Epiphany, everything was like, you know, like in Opera, if you press the wrong button, you can reduce the size of the screen.
Right.
To like 10%. But right. The screen doesn't. It's just what's on the screen.
Right.
Well, everything was coming up in Epiphany like it was 10% that size.
Okay.
So I didn't want it to use Epiphany. I wanted to use Firefox. And I had a hell of a time changing it, because there's no easy way to change it. You actually have to go in there and edit your userpref.js file. So you actually have to hand edit a preference file, because you cannot switch or choose a default web browser.
In Thunderbird.
Well, I think that also comes...
I think that comes up in everything here. No,
it's
man, you can do
that. I can do the
same
thing in Evolution as well.
No, I didn't go in and do all that funky stuff. I just went in and changed it, man.
Epiphany. And that's because somewhere, and I believe it's in the GNOME configurations, the default web browser is set for Epiphany. And... instead of...
No, man, I didn't... I'm telling you, I changed mine to Firefox, and I didn't do that stuff.
Will you show me how you did it?
There was a set... I wish...
because I went through all this...
It's
me
beeping,
by the way. I went through the settings, I went through the options. It would not let me choose a default web browser.
Wait, man, I'm telling you.
And I actually went online, did my research, and they said that the best way to do it, or the only way to do it, was either to set your window manager default... which I don't use GNOME, but somewhere along the line it's pulling a GNOME configuration for that. Add it to your userpref.js file, which was a simple addition. Now, I'm not sure exactly where in the GNOME config it would be that sets your default web browser.
I really think that I just right-clicked on the link and it brought up and it said open with, and I changed the default. Open with, and then there's a browser window and a button, browse, and I browse to Firefox, and then underneath that there's a little checkbox that says set as default, and that's what I did. But that, I mean, like, I didn't go change any, you know,
but I'm gonna look at
preferences.
That during
I just
the break.
Right-clicked on it, and that was
I'm gonna
it.
Look at that during the break.
You should check that out, man. I'm pretty sure that's what I did. You gotta do everything the hard way. Dan has got the recompiler kernel. He just does not feel like he did anything for the day, man. We need to change my browser preference in this program, so what I'm going to do is recompile the entire Mozilla source tree and hard-code it
well,
in
Well, hey,
there.
I wouldn't have gone down that route if I was looking at all the, you know, on the web and how to do that, and that's what was coming up.
There's no way that I did all of that crap. I just right-clicked on it. And
but what's nice is... when you do that, when you click on a link, if you have Firefox open, it doesn't open a new window. It doesn't replace your current page. It opens a new tab.
Oh, really? See, now mine doesn't do that. Mine just replaces whatever you got going on.
No, Simo, maybe if you edited the press file, you wouldn't have that problem.
But I didn't have to edit the press file. I just did the thing and it works. I don't like it anyway. I mean, I don't like the way that it opens... I don't like the way that it opens up web pages by clicking on them in Thunderbird. I usually just grab the links and paste them into my own damn browser, which only takes a second anyway. So, but now that you mentioned it, maybe I should change the preferences.
No, I have a question. So I have a big question. Big question. I want to get an MP3 player. A cheapo MP3 player. For when I go running. And right now it looks like around here, unless I order it online, but the cheapest thing I can find is a Memorex or a Creative Labs. And I'm wondering if anybody here uses an MP3 player and connects it with Linux.
Nope.
No.
But you guys suck.
Nope.
What you can do, it depends on how big you want something, is get one of the CD players that also plays.
That's
MP3s
what I was
going to
say,
well.
And they cost like $20, right?
Yeah, they're not that expensive.
The regular
CD.
Well, yeah. Seriously, I was in Walmart the other day. I could swear it costs like $20 for a CD player that does MP3s
okay,
now.
Yeah, and then just
but you got to burn the MP3s to a CD.
Yeah.
I don't want a CD. I don't want to carry around a big ass bulky CD player. I just want a little tiny MP3 player. And then I don't want a CD player.
You're picky.
I am picky.
Like 10 hours of music for like those 10-hour runs.
Yeah, really.
I don't care. But then when you're running, you hit a bump and it...
No, man. They're made for... They're made for...
I want an MP3
for walkers and stuff like that.
Yeah, they usually have 10 seconds worth of read ahead.
Something
so,
like that.
So that you don't have that problem. Looks like you throw it down on the ground and...
I said I wanted an MP3 player. I didn't say I wanted a CD player. Well, I already have a CD player.
You know what?
Yeah, but you can get a CD player that plays MP3s as well.
So that would be an MP3 player. So. No, I don't know. I really couldn't tell you. I would suspect that probably like a Creative Labs one would be supported under Linux. However, you probably have to whip out some Google foo and check it out.
Well, I've been looking. I mean, it looks like it'll work with USB mass storage.
Mass storage devices, yeah.
Yeah, everything. That's the answer for everything. USB mass storage and SCSI emulation.
Hey, as long as it works, man, do it, right?
Do it to it.
That's my philosophy. Do it.
Do it to it. Do it to it.
Something, something.
Little something, something on the side.
Something, something on the side. Speaking of something on the side, it is just about something, something on the side. Time for
12 listeners.
We're doing good.
Well, 11 if you include.
It's about time for our musical intermission. Our musical. Intermission.
I'll kill them all off now.
Yeah. So here's my thoughts. We're gonna have our little musical interlude thing, our intermission time. And I'm going to tell all these nice listening folks who it is that we're listening to again this time. Actually, and the reason I'm saying it again is because we're going to listen to another song by Derelict, which is the guy that we played last week. Got some really good stuff. You want to check him out at https://members.rogers.com/BOSINC/derelict. And of course, that URL is available on the IRC logs, which we so graciously provide for the other half of your entertainment in the show. I'm really dry. You know that? We got
to
have like someone.
That's why I need something to drink when I listen
to you. English
guys
over there, you know, they're like, you know, that guy is dry, man. We got to have someone screaming in the bathroom, in the background.
Screaming.
Or, you know.
Somebody
laughing
or
something, man.
Al'll be screaming.
Yeah, Al'll be choking.
No, no. Well, you know, actually, speaking of that, the dog is still alive. Which is,
yes.
You know, that's.
We didn't say last week.
The dog's got the stomach cancer, and we're going to be putting her down in the very near future. And we're at one of those things where...
We have a Shasta Memorial Show.
Yes. We want to do it. We have a choice. We can either do it... It has to be done either next week or after the 4th of July, because my kids go on vacation or going down to my family. We don't want to off the dog while they're on vacation.
Dude, I hate to tell you this, but I don't think that your dog is going to last until after the 4th of July,
She's
still kicking, but dude, she's kicking and then falling over.
That's the sad
and part. It is sad because I love the dog. I really don't think she's going to last until after the 4th of July.
It costs a lot of money, though, to have it done.
Yes, it does.
And then, you know, they can. You have a choice. You could just leave the dog there. You can take the dog with you. You can get it cremated and put in a little box for like another $175.
I got my cat in a little box next to my monitor, my cat that died like a couple of years ago.
I told my wife, you know, we pair here in the backyard, and she's like, well, you know, this is a big dog. I said, well, I got that, I got a little,
I've got a space
nice
in the garden.
Little knife. It's not a knife, it's like a saw. I forget what it's called. A pruning saw. We could just cut her legs off and put them side by side, just dig one little hole and put it right down in there.
Right.
Get a post hole digger.
Who says that you? Well, you know, if you're going to talk that way, then who says that you actually have to?
Center.
Who says that you have to bury your horizontally?
That's true.
Right? You can
straight down. You know what? Another thing I thought to save money. Now this is kind of dangerous. I said we could take her down to the shore to visit your mom one last time. We could take the van into the garage. Leave it on for a couple hours, and she just fall right asleep. We
that's
don't have to pay
mean,
anymore.
Man. That is mean.
You figure she's sleeping, she passes away. It's painless,
yeah.
Isn't it?
much, probably.
But then, you know, trying to get back in there to turn the car off, somebody else will end up dying in the process. That's when you read about it on the Darwin Awards.
Yeah.
Oh, you want some more bad news?
Man puts dog to sleep and kills self in process.
You want some more bad news?
What's that?
My dad got diagnosed with bladder cancer.
Oh, that sucks, man.
But good news, bad news is that hopefully they caught it in time, and if they did, just lop it out of that polyp out of there, and it should be good to go.
That's cool.
So we'll find out July 2nd.
We're rooting for Dan's dad.
Yeah.
Any other bad news before we go on break? The Downer Show.
I don't have anything to top that, man. Yeah.
No? My daughter's sick, too.
I was farting the other day, and it was really, really rancid. Smelled like, you know, dead flesh or something like that, but... You know, that just doesn't top the whole cancer thing. So
you want to hear a funny story?
It was going to be a valid topic up until Dan brought it up.
Want to hear a funny story that's kind of disgusting?
Funny story that's disgusting. This is... yeah, what the hell? Yeah.
Why not, huh? All right. I got a hairy butt. And you know, one of the problems that comes with a hairy butt is trying to keep it clean.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, Dan, that toilet we found on CNN.
Here you go, man.
With the massager on it.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I went out running one day, and earlier that day, I had to leave some friends off at the pool, of course, right?
Is that what you call it?
Amongst other things, right? So I came back, you know, I threw my clothes off, and when I go running, usually my clothes end up out in the hallway, take a shower, go out.
Wait, you run around the block naked?
No, when I come back.
I saw there's for sale signs around here.
Yeah. Like if everyone,
yeah, property prices are dropping, yeah.
And the wife picks up the, you know, she says, what's going on? Are you okay? Are you bleeding? And I'm like, that's not blood. You should know. Look at it in the light a little better. You know what that is.
Oh, skin.
So she was a little worried there that there might be some little exercising too hard.
When I worked in the store, there was this lady that came in. It was like this overweight lady came in these white stretch pants. This is years ago I worked in the store. And running right up the butt was like this huge, huge skid mark.
it was so
disgusting.
And you know, she'd been walking around with that all day, and nobody would say a thing to her.
Yeah, because these things are like all worn out. I mean, this is like old lady.
Man.
It's like,
Oh, man.
It's things you remember when you were 17. It's like,
yeah. My underwear is a nightmare. And you know what I feel the worst about is when I go down to the mother-in-law's and she does a load of laundry and she folds it too. It's like, at this point, what does it matter anymore, you know? My underwear is a disaster. Sight is...
I got to get some, too. You know, like, guys, I know a lot of guys have the tendency to do the same thing I do. And it's like you get a pair of underwear and you wear them until they fall off, you know.
Because that's when they're getting comfortable.
Yeah. There's like, I have underwear. I don't even think I have a pair of underwear that doesn't have holes and stuff in it anymore.
All mine got thrown out. The wife threw them out.
You listen to James on the IRC. He's like, no pants, and you top it off with nasty underwear talk. Got to love this show, man. This is just when it starts getting good, you know?
Usually this happens right when we're about
right
to
end. Right when we're about to end.
We could just take a break and come back with more.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's take our middle of the show breaky thing. I'm going to play you some Derelict again. Again, his links are on the IRC chat for this week that's coming up. And last week as well. Last week, I believe we played The Fever. Is that correct? Yes, no, maybe? I think so. And we're going to play Emanation this week. So sit yourself back and enjoy some Emanation by Derelict. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Calico Jack, and the voices in my head listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
My name is Michelle, and I listen to the Linux Link Tech Show because they make me.
You are listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
That's right. You are listening to the Linux Link Tech Show, and that was Emanation by Derelict.
You know, if they didn't know the first time, and they didn't know the second time.
Shut up, man.
And they didn't know the third time.
Shut up, man.
You reiterating blah, 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 it a fourth blah, blah, blah. Time.
If I wanted your opinion, I would
probably
give it to
doesn't
you, Dan.
Change the fact that they don't know.
Hey, I'm just trying to plug the guy's music because he was nice enough to let
us
play.
No, I was
so
talking
you
about.
Shut up,
I was talking about the tech show. You are listening to the Linux.
Oh, wow. Well,
they had to say four times that they're listening to the
Yeah, well, you know, you get a little.
Do you could plug
their dirty underwear shows.
Self promotion.
We need to plug that. And speaking of that, I'm trying to put together an artist contact page on the website in addition to the credits page. There's a couple other artists that are really agreeable to us streaming their music. One is Dreamt Of by Armadillos, and Zalix is another one, is a Russian band.
Cool.
So there's three bands that are really hepped up on it. So it's really great.
Yeah, man.
And we want to promote these people. And that's one thing that you can do. If you want to promote this show, one way that you can promote it is by going to the credits page or the artist page, which is up and coming, and click on those sites. If you listen to some of that music, you can find out what the artist is by going to the credits, and I'll probably be putting that information into the stream itself. And
well, let the artist know as well, because they may come up with more music.
Yeah, man. Go visit their site.
Go buy
one
of their CDs.
Yeah.
Support them.
Visit their site and let them know that, you know.
By the RIA.
Yeah, let them know that. You listen to their stuff on a tech show and on the LinuxLink.net open source stream. And
if you are in a band or know a band that would like to get some airtime somewhere and more exposure, definitely let them.
It should be original music, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we can't do cover stuff.
Or even another show. We keep forgetting to mention this. Like, we're still looking for, like, open source content on the LinuxLink.net open source stream that we have going on. So if someone has another idea for some kind of show they like to, like a sports show or a political show or something, you know, if you have something you want to invest a little time in, have a little fun with, it's a lot of fun. Have a little fun with it. Send it in to us. We'll make sure
time.
It gets on. Yeah, we have a good time. We'll get it on the stream and, you know. The more opinionated you are about the stuff, the better it is, because then more people want to listen to you because either you're really funny and good or they're really pissed off at you. So do it up. Give us
most people haven't decided about us.
Yeah, give us an email. Most people haven't decided about. Give us an email. Shout. Send us your stuff. We'll stick it on and see what everybody thinks about it. And, we'll have a lot of fun doing this. Right?
Sounds good.
Exactly. Something like that.
Yeah, I got another one for you. You're talking about that toilet before. My one friend, I don't know how he managed to do this, but one time he was going to sit down on the toilet. And first off, this was the most moronic thing to do when you're sitting down on a toilet. Usually you put the seat down, then you sit on the toilet, right? Well, he decided to ride the seat on the way down. And somehow he got...
Oh, no, man. We're all sitting down here. That's already hurting because I know.
I'm starting to hurt already. Dan hasn't even done anything but make hand gestures yet, you know?
He got something stuck between the bowl and the seat.
Oh, man.
Ow.
And that's what I said. How that happened, I have no idea. He doesn't know how he did it, but he was hopping around for a while. And there's not a lot of space in there, huh? That just hurts.
Oh. Now I got that chill that just like starts in your ankles and just goes right up your back. Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, that's just wrong, man. That's just wrong. You don't like, you don't like tell guys stories like that. You know?
Well, it's a lesson to be learned. Do not ride the seat down.
Put I knew this guy down. Who pinched his wiener right off.
Yeah.
Ow.
Ew. Yeah. You know, last night,
sorry. I was trying to give something.
Finally,
here.
Alan's going to contribute.
I'm going to contribute something here. Even though we're not all Mandrake users here on it, but Mandrake is now going to be sold by O'Reilly to make it easier for people to get it as well. I didn't know
there was a hard time getting it.
Well, I didn't either, but I just found this little thing on here. They're going to be reselling. O'Reilly's is going to be reselling Mandrake Linux. So, for all these who want it and can't find it,
we're actually doing like some real Linux news here.
Some real, yes. My one bit of real Linux news.
Okay, well, here's some more real Linux news, right? I read 3 or 4 reviews over the week of about Fedora Core 2. And the real news about that is everybody that wrote a review didn't like it.
Why?
Ba-dum-bum-psh. Because there are a variety of different
that
reasons.
That also knocks off your dual boot.
Mostly because they did not feel it was a significant enough improvement over Fedora Core 1. Some of them said that it was more buggy than Fedora Core 1. It went down more often. Others did not like the new... what's GNOME's new Explorer thing?
Nautilus?
No. It's
MetaCity?
Some way they got it to work. Like Windows, you click on a directory and it opens up in a new window instead of opening up in the same window.
Oh, is that the thing where everybody was complaining they went backwards?
Yes. They did that and people were complaining about that. And they also said that the new GNOME was slower than the last version.
Was that GNOME workgroup for Windows?
No. Jeez. All right, anyway, yeah, there were a lot of little complaints like that, and a lot of them were nitpicky stuff, and some of them were legitimate, like, it wasn't a significant improvement, and they feel that the new GNOME stuff slowed it down, and blah, 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 blah.
Speaking
something,
of
something
Fedora Core 2.
Didn't like it.
And our buddy M. Stanley at technologist.com.
Yes.
Who never showed up tonight.
Yes.
And was supposed to bring a copy of Fedora Core 2.
Ah.
That has been...
How is he supposed to bring Fedora Core 2? Like, he has a dial-up connection, man.
He supposedly has.
Did you make that poor guy download Fedora Core 2 over a dial-up connection? Is that why he hasn't been here for the last month?
Well, he said that's what he would like to start the honeypot off with, Fedora Core 2.
Okay.
Which might be kicking off this weekend. If anybody's interested, something that the LV Lug has been interested in doing is a honeypot, just a machine set up just to crack into, do some exploits on it, see how you could break into it, testing default installs of operating systems, learning how to crack a system. Probably be putting up a website this week on some of the rules and regulations on what we're doing. I mean, just basically, there aren't really any rules. The only stipulation I'd like to add is whatever you do, if you do break into it, that you document your progress and make it available for us to post on the web.
Right.
Under that, so we people can actually learn from
it. Don't turn it into some big spam server either.
Well, it's not going to last that long to be a spam server. Once it's broken into, that's it. Then we move on to the next distribution. And, we'll start off from there and see where we can go with it. Setting up different scenarios and stuff. So yeah. That sounds like it's going to be exciting.
What you
keep
said.
Looking at the forum and the LV Lug pages and stuff like that in the list and you know, for more information and how you can participate.
For more information on how you can participate, please contact Dan.
Did I ever tell you about the hoagie guy?
The hoagie, oh man. Is this another pinched his pee-pee story or something?
No, he did something else with it.
Do I want to know?
I don't know. Do our listeners want to hear about the hoagie guy?
Yeah, they want to hear about the hoagie
guy. They want to hear about the hoagie guy.
Hoagie guy.
The hoagie guy.
I'll tell you about the hoagie guy later. I don't hear anybody clamoring here for the hoagie guy. Anyway, we had a nice little discussion last night at the LV Lug meeting. I think the topic was kicked off when one of the newer gentlemen, the older gentleman that showed up, what was his name? Start with a B or something. There were the two guys from Hazleton. Was it Chris and TR? Was it Chris? Was that his name, Chris?
I think so.
Chris and TR. But sitting next to TR, that gentleman, who had broached the topic of do we want to replace Windows with Linux, which, you know, got some mixed comments back and forth. And one of the things we got onto the topic of using Linux on the desktop, and Ricardo had given his two cents as to, you know, he thinks that maybe it's not the best solution for grandma, and I said I think it's an ideal solution. And we got a mixed bag of things, and he brought up a good point that if you, to make things a little easier on the Linux end with regards to hardware and stuff, hardware usage, set it up, make some scripts or whatever to make using the hardware, whatever, a little easier, plug and play type thing for them.
Right.
So, well, why do that for an individual person when it should be done as a community wide basis so everybody benefits from it? I think he's got a point there. But on the flip side to that, I think, the stuff that I was setting up, what I'd set up for my wife down there, who's been using Slackware on that Frankenstein laptop, and aside from pieces physically falling off the laptop, it's run like a
top.
Anything
new this week?
It's not a single problem. And most of the stuff that I set up to run are basically the applications that are already installed. They're just shortcuts to actually get them up and going. Simple stuff.
Sure, and it's the same thing
I
did for my
mount
wife.
Or unmount kind of script.
I did the same thing for my wife. My wife has been running Linux for, you know, a long time.
And
it's the same thing. It
doesn't bother her.
It's the only
machine
in the house right now, and my wife just learned how to use it.
I don't run Windows for anything. And my wife like does a checkbook thing, and she maintains a spreadsheet with my daughter's dental stuff on it. And she, you know, my daughter is, she surfs the web and gets her email, of course, and all of that. Listens to the tech show, you know, joins the chat and all that happy stuff. You know, because she's cool and she's married to a techie geek. And some of this stuff I don't even think she could probably do through Windows, if, you know, without any, a little bit of hand holding, like getting onto the tech show and stuff like that. But
as proof, I did install Slack on my boss's daughter's computer,
right.
And she loves it.
Cool.
He didn't have to do anything. She just jumped right in. You know, he told
that's
her
right,
her
and that's you did that.
Was,
that's what you're talking about last week,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, week before. It was last.
It was
week,
last
week.
Week
yeah. But she just pretty much once he told her login name was, she just jumped in and started using it. You know,
and that was she key. Went from.
She went
oh
from
boy.
The
Vector for Vector. Kids, to Slackware. And Vector Slackware based, so I didn't figure she'd have a whole lot of problems. But.
Yeah, the only difference being was, you know, she was running. He had an ICE window manager was the. Original one. I switched her over to KDE.
Okay.
On it, which I figured just
and you have your,
the fact that had everything.
You have
in
your
there.
Wife using Ice WM, right, Dan?
Using what? Ice Window Maker.
Yes.
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 KDE is just a. Oh, she used KDE for a while and it was kind of slow. And I said, "You want it to go faster?" And she said, "Yeah."
I have my wife using. Right. Currently, she's using KDE. However, before that she used Fluxbox, and she's used Window Maker before, and she's used XFCE, so I can probably switch her to just about anything and have her do it. But right now she's like enjoying her and my daughter play those Mahjong games through KDE.
So addictive.
And they're just like, they're on that, man. Like white on rice. They love that stuff.
Now, on the flip side, the way that the Apple has it, that you just plug the hardware in and it works. Not like, you know, Windows where you plug the hardware in and it
may work.
May work. It usually works without a problem on Apple.
But you get
a lot of convenience there, too. And I was thinking as I went to go pick up the drinks before the show, on my way over there. Now, I don't know if this exists yet. And maybe Microsoft wants to enhance their patent portfolio for this, too. But anyway, one of the problems that I notice when you give a user a computer, and it might be a complaint on the Linux side of things, that they start going out on the web and all this cool stuff. Oh, look at Weatherbug and screenshots and all these cool things, a little bonsai buddy that they can download and play on our computer. Now, a lot of this stuff is not available on Linux, which...
Thankfully.
The little mail dude.
Thankfully.
You ever seen the little mail dude? My dad has this on his Windows box. The little mail dude walks out if he gets an email. Little butler guy walks out from the side of the screen with this plate and then a letter on it, and he says, "Sir, you have mail." And that was this is like cool, man. You know, this is like the most worthless thing in the whole world. But I was really thrilled. I was like,
"Was that on a Windows machine?"
Yeah, it was on the Windows box. Little butler walk out with
all this crap, and one of the side effects on Linux that I have is you end up with a whole lot of crap in your home directory after a while. You download some stuff. You make some files. A lot of garbage. I was thinking, on Windows, there should be an application or some kind of thing that you can, like a scheduler that you can set up, that you download an application or you install an application, and after like a certain amount of time, like 10 days or 15 days, it might come up and say, "Hey, you installed this. Do you still want to keep it?" You know, like a trial thing. Yeah. And then if you don't want to, you can wipe it out, and it cleans it out completely like an uninstaller. But it'll remind you that this is installed after a certain amount of time. To, you know, maybe monitor it, and then you can just wipe it out so it doesn't clutter up your system. Because I go look at people's computers, and they got crap all over the place on there and stuff they never touch again. Like Crystal Vision sent some CD crap around one time, and this installed on somebody's computer. It's like, well, what are you actually using this for? I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't touched it.
That's actually on XP though too. XP does that because I only fire it up like once a month to get the security updates on the laptop, and every time I fire it up, it says you have applications you haven't used in a long time. And of course, because I've never used them, but you know, do you want to delete them now? So
it does.
Mine does, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. Well, maybe that already exists. And
it's not there for the
Windows. You know what it is, Dan, is that we are now officially out of the Windows loop.
I'm retarded.
We're out of the Windows loop. I don't use Windows anymore. They have all these neat things that pop up, and I have never seen them. But I will say what was it I was talking about last night at the LUG meeting? Someone was telling me that every piece of hardware that they plug into an XP box has been recognized right off the bat. Right? That they didn't have a problem with drivers or something like that. And we finally narrowed it down because I call bullshit, you know? And then we finally narrowed it down to, well, every major USB device.
Yeah, but you still have to
plug
install
in
the drivers for it.
The only
difference being is the drivers come in the package.
Yes, that's right.
If you're lucky,
if it's a new name brand USB device, yes.
But if it's an older USB device,
then you're sunk because they don't have XP drivers for them.
Yes, exactly.
Or if they do, they're on the net and you got to dig for them someplace. And if it's an off-the-wall thing, you know, maybe it has drivers for it, maybe it doesn't. But it's just been my experience you get this all the time. A lot of people say, well, Windows is so easy to install. You know what I mean? That's why it has such a big market share, because it's so much easier to install than Linux. And it simply is not true. Windows is a pain in the ass to install. Especially, like, you know, 98 and NT and 2000 and ME and stuff like that, when you have to go hunting for the drivers for different video cards and crap like that, it really can be a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Whereas Linux, and at this point in time, Linux auto detects the hardware, sets it up with the best available driver, and off it goes. You know, if it's supported, it's supported already and working.
Yeah.
Yes. The vast, vast majority of times, so. But, yeah. So, it is my opinion that Linux is actually easier to install than Windows. The only reason people think the opposite, that Windows is easier, is because most times when they get a computer, Windows is already on there.
Yeah, they don't have to install.
They don't have to install, so therefore they have no idea how hard it is to install.
They don't realize the problem until they have to go and actually reinstall Windows and find out they don't have the full install package to begin with.
Right.
They've got the restore disk, which may or may not work, or you may have to load a half a dozen of them to get them to all,
sure,
all your stuff back again.
The best part is when they come, when people come to me to restore their, you know, they want to reload Windows on their computer.
And you empty their wallet.
And they have, they'll have Windows XP on their computer, but the problem is that XP was upgraded from 2000, which was an upgrade CD from Windows ME, which was an upgrade C from Windows 98, which was an upgrade CD from Windows 95 that they lost the OEM for.
Yes, yeah.
So you got like four upgrade CDs and no OEM. There's no way to get it on there.
Yep.
You know, so that's always fun. But, you know, that's another story in and of itself. And it is dun dun dun.
Time to talk about the hokey guy.
It's 10 o'clock. You can stick the hoagie guy in there if you want. Hoagie guy?
No, there was something else I wanted to say.
Say it. Say it. Say it.
Damn it. Now I can't remember what it was.
Put him on the spot. And he chokes.
The hoagie guy.
The hoagie guy.
I'll save the hoagie guy for next week.
You got to remember what it was.
I know what the hoagie guy is. Oh, yes, he's a good buddy. Terrible. Tragic, but...
Tragic, oh, man. Here we go.
Oh, what was I going to say?
I don't know, man. Did I like, talked you out of your conversation,
you
I
were
guess.
Talking about... Oh, was it about patents? Are we going to talk about... I said we were going to talk a little bit about patents tonight, but we didn't.
Is that what you said?
On the
I don't
on the
remember
blog.
Saying it. What do you think, Alan?
I don't remember saying it. I know you were looking up the horizontal scroll mouse.
Well, yeah, there we go. We can ask our users. I could have sworn that over a year ago I saw a mouse with a horizontal scroll wheel on it. And, what, a few weeks ago Microsoft was awarded a patent for a mouse with a horizontal scroll wheel. I could have sworn I saw one from either Kingston or Logitech. Had a horizontal scroll wheel mouse. Not that I don't know. What would you use it for other than what you said for CAD? I mean, if you're
and even there, I'm like sort of iffy on what exactly you would need it for. With the exception of the newer versions of CAD, you can actually use the scroll wheel to zoom in and out of stuff. But off the top of my head, I don't
know
what you
think
would
of
need
a good one. Thing. I can't think of a damn thing that you would use that for.
Like I said, I had a mouse when I was doing CAD all the time that had like 16 buttons on it, but I still only programmed like three of them. You know,
right.
The one, you know, outside of the ones I needed, you know, the normal three that were programmed in.
No, occasionally I'll hold the shift key down or something and then use the scroll. And on OS X, it does a horizontal scrolling. But if you're looking at web pages that you need to horizontally scroll, then maybe the web designer should work to fit the page in the browser.
Something.
Properly.
Huh? Yeah. Something like that. Okay.
Man, you're hot to get out of here on time tonight.
Some bitch, you're talking about hot, man.
I was going to say, it's like 95 in here.
You didn't give Alan the opportunity to drop the F-bomb this week.
Does Dan have like eight computers running in here? Plus
eight
like
computers and three fat guys standing right on top of them. Hey, what is it, hot in here? Yeah, it's hot in here. A
couple of laser jets running in here. You can actually feel the heat as you were coming up
there's
the stairs,
paint,
coming out of the room.
There's paint running off the sides of the computers, man.
Yeah, summertime, it always gets pretty rough in here. You got to start turning monitors off. And you should feel it at the really late at night after it's had enough time to bake in here without a fan.
Oh, man.
And then the cat comes in and takes a dump in the litter box. And, it's unbearable.
That's got to be fun, man.
Last summer, the cat peed all over the rug. It was terrible. What?
So we have to run the electric wires over to the neighbor's house to get the AC to run.
We've had the AC. Well, we've had the fan running, but not the AC. I don't know. We could try.
I think the fan does better than the AC does anyway, doesn't it?
The fan. Fan's fine. For me.
Something.
It got cold over the weekend. I had to turn the fan off.
You're sick of town.
No, wait. What day was it? Sunday? When it rained, it was kind of dropped down to 58 degrees.
Yeah, I know. I had all the windows open.
Wow.
I love it cold.
Me too. Put a pair of socks on. You're good to go, man. I don't know. All right. What is interesting, though, speaking of the weather, and I hate talking about the weather because that other show. That does this kind of thing too. They always waste an hour of their show in the beginning talking about the weather in 47 different places. Hey, it's raining here. But an interesting note about the weather here actually is that for the past month, right, every show we've had has been in the midst of a thunderstorm.
Yes, today wasn't.
Today was not. This is the first time in a month that we have not had a thunderstorm during the show. So, if perhaps that you go and you try and get this show later on to, download it off the archives and can't because the electricity in the entire world is shut off, that's because we actually made it through a show without a thunderstorm and it's just karma catching up to us, you know what I mean? But, I don't know, I think that's it. Does anybody else have anything to add before we close this show out?
Yeah, are you going to update your blog again soon?
I was going to do that tomorrow too, morning. Yeah. By the time I got home, I have to put the story of my car in there. So.
Yeah, it's hard to get to the blogging all the time because, it's been so damn hot at work and stuff like that and dealing with that and dealing with the crap going on there and then coming home, I just can't stand touching anything anymore, No computer goodies. And especially if it has anything to do with fixing a computer or something like that. I just, feel like...
Well, I just haven't really even been on the computer. So, tonight I was on it when I came home. But, last night and the night before, just a few more things pressing in this night. So I didn't get on the computers at all. So tomorrow, though, I'll put the story of the car in. And everyone can laugh.
And there you have it. You, Dan?
I'm finished.
Anything to add? You finished? Dan is finished, man. It's curtains.
I actually have to go back to work tomorrow.
Curtains for him. Oh, that's too bad. My heart bleeds for you, man. Curtains for Dan. All right, folks.
Bedtime for democracy.
Yeah. Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to... We Linux geeks over here at the Linux Link Tech Show on the LinuxLink.net's new open source stream. Please continue to listen to us every week Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Linux Link Tech Show.